Home Slice Audio.
Hello, everybody. Can you still be hungover after 2 days? After 2 days ago of day drinking? Is that still possible?
Well, considering the mix that we had, I think there is due reason to be a little bit sluggish on a Tuesday.
It's Robin Mark. It's Whiskey at Work. And Sunday,
fun was had by all.
We got invited to a rather unique experience at the Windsor Block with our good buddy Justin and Jeannie and Mark and Heidi and Dalton was somebody that I met there.
Dalton.
His name was Dalton. And somebody that Justin said was quite possibly one of the best mixologists he's ever known. He's a guy that owns a place in Spearfish called something with the N, Ninos, Nunez. I don't know. Something like that. I don't know what it was.
I don't think I met that cat.
No, I didn't really either. Justin just kind of pointed him out when he's standing there and he said, yeah, he goes, he's literally one of the best mixologists I've ever known or worked with. And he was there making some cocktail. I don't know if we got to try it. But anyway, while we were there, it was...
Amelia was back for a minute.
Who was?
Amelia was there for
a minute. Yeah, he was there for a second. But they were putting together summer cocktails. And they invited us down to try a whole bunch of these new creations.
And critique them. Mostly. I did mostly try. I did all try.
Did you write down anything?
Did
you help at all this endeavor?
My wife kept just writing down more citrus.
I noticed my handwriting got progressively worse to where it got really, really hard to read my critique.
Mine starts that way, which is why I did.
I know, mine too, which is terrible.
That's why God gave us a keyboard.
But it was fascinating to watch, because you ever think about where these cocktails come from? Do you ever think about, well, somebody has to invent this, right? Somebody has to sit down and put these flavors together and come up with something. To watch them do it, though,
to me it's unnerving for just the fear of wasting the booze.
Oh boy, the sheer amount of booze that was poured on Sunday to make these.
Hey, I drank everything that was set in front of me.
I think up until about the last 45 minutes, then I got a straw and was just sipping on most of them. Right, there was some great ones that I thought were made. Gabe there was there, of course. He was making a lot of his cocktails with cognac, which I thought was pretty interesting. Been a cognac fan.
I'm not sure I've even had it, but they were like a lot drier.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was saying was that he doesn't like using syrups and whatnot, so it was all very booze oriented.
Very booze forward, but still tasted like there was simple syrups in there, for sure.
Some of the sweeter liqueurs and stuff, you know, helped out.
But. Yeah. And because of summer coming up and the cocktails they were making there, did a lot with mezcal. There was a couple of really good mezcal cocktails that I thought we got to try.
Smoky.
Yeah, some of them were really good. But it just got me thinking over the past couple of days about cocktails and where they came from and why.
I have not really been able
never,
to think over
have,
the last couple of days.
Have you never thought about anything like this? What's so frustrating when you try to dig into the history of cocktails, nothing was ever written down. Nothing was ever documented. So nobody knows for sure where any of this stuff comes from, which I just find so hard to believe.
I heard a story about the origin of the word cocktail a while back.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
I vaguely do.
The guy walks into the bar and says, make me a drink and make it fancy. And she makes him this highfalutin drink. And the guy says it's not fancy enough and blah, blah, blah. And this goes on for 3 or 4 iterations, and then finally she takes a stuffed pheasant and pulls a tail feather out and then puts that in his drink, and then he goes, it's just fancy enough or something, and then it was a cocktail.
I see.
I have no idea if that's true or not, and it was probably actually a funny joke at some time.
Total BS, I'm sure.
It could be complete and utter crap.
They don't know. They think that a New Orleans pharmacist had what was called the croquetier, which is French for egg cup.
That wasn't near Flemmy enough.
Croquetier theory, or is just the combining spirit, sugar, water, bitters. But that's the very definition of a cocktail. right? That's kind of what's in it, I guess.
Say that again.
Just the combination of spirits, sugar, water, and bitters.
Spirits, sugar, water, yep. Bitters.
Or it even might have roots in horse racing, too. I heard one that was so outlandish, and I can't tell it because I don't remember it, and I'll just screw it up. But it had something to do with docking the tail of a horse, and then it had something to do with your genitals and a couple other things, okay? You go ahead and look that up on your own, because I have to keep this on the radio, too.
I'm not good.
I like
the pheasant feather story better.
And dig into that.
Than the docking of horse tails and...
Well, they
whatever
think it,
else you
it,
scared
it,
me with.
It really came about because in they had like communal punch bowls back in the day in like England and stuff, when you just dump everything into it, and they would have this really bad tasting liquor, and they're like, "Well, how can we make it better?"
Like sugar, water, bitters.
Exactly. That's what it is. Sugar and water originally. Jerry Thomas is who they credit with the first cocktail recipe book, 1862. Is when they were mixing that stuff together to make it. And even then, the Old Fashioned was featured in that 1862. I didn't think the Old Fashioned was that old, that it went back quite that far.
I don't know. I think we talked about this at one point. I think we talked about it being like the 1870s or something, wasn't
it? I suppose it absolutely, yeah, it certainly could have been, sure. But like we said, it's spirits, sweeteners, bitters, modifiers. So that'd be juice. I don't know, fruit. It seems to be a lot of fruit type cocktails that you're getting nowadays too. Shaking, stirring, all of that kind of stuff. That's what makes a cocktail in essence.
Bond. Simon Le Bond.
No. So what? Lead singer of Duran Duran? Okay. Way to go, buddy. Let's see.
Still coming out of it, man. Give me a break.
Well,
at this proof. This is going to be getting right back in.
Oh, dang. No kidding. We'll tell
this
you what we're drinking
good.
Coming up. Well, it's what we're drinking right now to wet your whistle for part two is the Woodford Reserve Master's Collection. This is the batch proof, 121.2 proof. Oh my God. I think this is the first one of its kind too. They have done different versions of the Master's Collection, but this is the first.
That's a batch proof.
Batch proof. Yes. That you're trying right now.
Got a lot going on.
I was looking into cocktails. I went just with the big ones, like the daiquiri. They think it was invented in Cuba around 1898, which makes sense, considering what is in a daiquiri, right?
Why are you burning all the rum?
Well, the daiquiri gets its name from the beach in Cuba that's called daiquiri.
Well, that would make sense then.
Yes.
Unless some... Well, never mind. I'm getting in trouble for saying what was in my head.
It was an American mining engineer who's credited with making it, Jennings Cox.
Yeah, there we go. Stealing stuff
there
from
it is.
Other cultures again.
He just ran out of gin for his usual drink, so he put rum, lime, and sugar. That's what he came up with. So originally he was mixing gin, lime,
gin,
and sugar.
Lime, and sugar. That sounds awful.
It does sound terrible.
I like gin. I'm not a big rum fan, though.
This it boomed in the U.S. after the Spanish-American War, of course.
Well, once we conquer, now we must drink.
F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway were the big ones that bring it into popular culture. Hemingway has his own that's called the Papa Doble. He liked it with a lot less sugar, which, if you know anything about Ernest Hemingway, that sounds just about right, I suppose. And then the frozen daiquiri was invented by a bartender at El Floridita.
By Hemingway's wife.
He just put shaved ice in it for the first time in the 1920s. And that's how you got the frozen daiquiri. You like daiquiris?
No.
I'm not a fan of
them. No. I mean, to me, because I'm not a big rum fan. I mean, I'd rather have if you're going to make me drink a frozen blended drink, I'd rather have a frozen margarita.
Margarita? That's next on the list, Rob. Good job.
Yeah.
1930. The margarita's only been around for about 80 years, 90 years. It is a relatively new invention when it comes to cocktails. Between Mexico, the U.S., they're not quite sure which side it was invented on.
Well, if it was tequila, doesn't it have to be in Mexico? Because we're not exactly making tequila
here. They're all theories, though. They suggest that it evolved from a pre-existing tequila cocktail called the Tequila Daisy that had tequila, lime, and Coracao, is that how you say it? Or Caraco? How do you say that? Curacao.
Is that right?
That sounds more right. Yeah. But it didn't have the salty rim. That was the only difference.
Oh, have you had one with tahini on the rim?
No, it's but like I bet you that's pretty good.
It's a spicy.
Makes it spicy?
Yeah, and a little bit sweet. And a little bit, it's kind of got all of it going.
One theory, Margaret Sames, an American socialite, created it at a 1948 party in Acapulco. She thinks that they named it after herself. She had tequila, lime, and Cointreau in it. Of course, margarita is the Spanish version of Margaret.
Well, and Cointreau is just an orange liqueur. So the recipes I've seen lately for the best margarita have some sort of orange component to
really?
It, whether it's the
Cointreau or whatever.
I've been putting, because we had that Watkins orange whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
It's been sitting in the basement forever. I've just been dumping a little bit of that.
Has it been pretty good?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
Smooths it a little bit. Takes a little bit of that tart lining out of it, you know.
And with the margarita, like I said, with all of these drinks, since nobody can narrow it down specifically, even the salted rim is another point of debate. They don't know when this came into effect. They think it came from the Bloody Mary. That's where they believe the first. They were like, well, if it tastes good there, I wonder what happens if you put it here.
I saw something just the other day that said you should put some salt in your margarita, too, because it helps to, again, take away that tartness of the lime.
Okay, maybe.
So, you know, you got tart, sweet, salty, savory, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So it helps take it away from that a little bit.
Are you a martini fan?
I haven't had one in a while, but, you know, I can handle it.
They think the name either came from one of two places, Martini and Rossi brand of vermouth, which gained popularity in the mid-1800s. That's how long it's been around.
No kidding.
Or a town called Martinez, California. Some claiming a local bartender created the drink there during the gold rush. And again, this you can talk about all the theories, but it just there's nothing's been pinpointed.
I mean, martini is just essentially gin or vodka and a hint of vermouth,
right?
And maybe a little bit of, you go dirty on it, you get a little olive juice.
Well, when you talk about, of course, everybody hears martini, they think of James Bond, shaken, not stirred. They say that you should never shake it.
Does it bruise the
What does
booze?
That mean? Bruises the gin.
I don't know.
Please explain that to me.
I just what I heard.
Okay. I mean,
they're shaking every other bloody cocktail. Why do they care about bruising the gin?
Yeah, I don't get what that
gin
can do.
Isn't that good. I mean, I like gin, but
oh boy,
you know,
yeah, maybe. Well, and of course, and we've talked about the old fashioned. It goes back to the mid 1800s, and back then it was the old fashioned referred to the style of sugar, water, and bitters, not a specific recipe. It was just that was an overarching term for mixing those things together, right?
So, and it didn't have to be bourbon.
No, and it was originally gin or mezcal. That's what they'd mix in there instead. And then when bourbon became popular, it became the alcohol of choice to throw in an old fashioned. And they think the name, they're more clear on this. They think it's just because people, as drinks got fancier and fancier and fancier,
they just wanted the old fashioned.
The old fashioned. Yep, that's exactly it. Made with those three ingredients: the liquor, the sugar, the water, and the bitter. That's what they wanted. That's kind of where that whole thing came from. So anyway, that's like a brief overview of the cocktail, I suppose. But if you ever get a chance to watch people create them, take it because it's fun. They're like little chemists with bottles of alcohol.
Well, especially mixing stuff if together. You know the bartender, you're bound to get some free samples.
Yeah, it's
which is a good thing if you're trying to kill a Sunday afternoon.
Boy, did it. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about what we're drinking this afternoon, which is the Master's Collection Woodford Reserve, and something that's going to make some of you, well, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to make you feel. Probably mad initially as the bottles get smaller. That's going to be coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Hi, I'm Mark Houston, the host of Doc Talk with Monument Health.
I tell people every organ in your body that has a blood vessel is affected by cardiovascular disease, by definition.
The average prostate in a young man in his 20s is about the size of a walnut, and it can grow to the size of a softball.
He always tells the patient when we're together, he's like, I'm the kind of doctor that you want to see so you don't see my wife. So I really don't want our path to cross in the, right. in the clinic.
Doc Talk from Monument Health. Wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. Whiskey at work. Rob and Mark.
That was the shortest break ever.
Well, you have dinner with your in-laws, and I don't want to keep you from that. So we're gonna rush through these as fast as possible. All right. Okay. Here we go. Part two of the old show. We talk about
what is
we
this?
$100.21. You just walked into the office last Friday and you pulled this out of the bag. We hadn't talked about this.
Yeah.
I didn't. Did you know about it?
Well, when Tomas sent me the text, I knew about it.
Okay.
I mean, I tried it at Whiskey Fest. It was it was upstairs at the Brown Foreman, you know, they had Woodford Reserve and Jack products there when you walk in the door.
And they had this batch proof up there?
They did.
Ah, dang it.
They had two Master's Collections bottles, and I don't remember. I could look it up, I suppose, to figure out what they were. But
okay.
I did like this one, but it was later in the night than we're recording right now.
So now you're going to remember this one maybe a little bit more at the moment.
This is really good.
They call this version, like we said, the batch proof. Now, in most distillers, when they bottle this, it's either called barrel proof, barrel strength, cask strength.
Yeah.
So that's what the name batch proof on here means. At 121.2 is what
this
it's coming
is
to
just,
as.
They mix multiple barrels together to get the batch, right?
Yes, I mean, that's exactly like what they do for this.
A single barrel is a single barrel, or a small batch is a small batch.
Right.
So they're just taking these barrels, blending them together.
So it's a pretty accurate term for it.
Not adding any water to it to bring it back down to a palatable level.
Oh, my God. Which I had to do. I haven't tasted it yet, but I had to put water in this. There was no way I'm going to go in at 121 on a Tuesday afternoon. I didn't realize that they use triple pot stills for Woodford Reserve.
I did not know that either.
So they do a very Irish thing with it, obviously.
Either Woodford or Reserve must have been some Irish.
Maybe. Sure, Mr. Reserve. All Woodford Reserve bourbon is a blend of their own whiskey and whiskey made at the Brown Foreman Distillery in Shively, Kentucky, which is something else I didn't know.
I was not aware. Is that where they do Old Forester?
Yes. Well, and that's because when they pot still it, the distillate is too light in body compared to other, I don't know, just any other American-made whiskey.
Triple distilling it, that's probably...
It's going to take a little of that out of there, right?
I would think. Being the master distiller that I am.
Yeah. It's on your business card.
I put it there in pencil.
Woodford blends with Old Forester. Another thing I didn't know. I feel stupid for not knowing this.
To be honest, we haven't had a lot of Woodford products
here. Because I think the one time I tried it, it was a take it or leave it, just the entry level Woodford. And it was all right. I mean, but I don't know. It didn't leave an impression on me to where I thought, we should go back to this.
Well, we did have the Woodford Reserve chocolate malted rye.
Well, that's a sore spot that we still...
Which is an entirely different thing.
Which still stings Rob quite a bit.
Oh, my gosh.
As far as money spent.
Roughly the same price, though, and I'd rather have this.
There's no exact ratio of Woodford Reserve barrels to Old Forester barrels, but people that are guessing think it's... Two barrels of Woodford for every barrel of Old Forester. So the Old Forester gives it that dark.
If that's the case, how bloody dark is the Old Forester coming out of there? Because this thing is chocolate.
This thing is extremely, extremely dark.
Even
when I put a little water in there, it barely...
That could be the part of the cask strength coming out,
dampen
too.
That for sure. Yeah.
121.2, it's going to be pretty dark.
Every year they do this.
Bottle, though.
It is. Although somebody said it looked too much like an I Dream of Jeannie bottle a little bit. I didn't quite see that.
If
Barbara Eden's popping out of there.
She pops out of there, it's even better.
They do 120. These are compromised of 120 barrels.
Might be a little wrinkly now. But
okay, Rob.
Well, she's still alive.
Barbara Eden's dead, isn't she?
I don't know.
We have to look that up really quick so I don't...
She was cute back then, though, when I was a kid.
Barbara Eden. Dead or alive. No, I'm not going to type that in there.
Stay
Barbara
tuned,
Eden,
folks.
No, she is still alive. She's 92 years old.
Oh, good for her.
Good for you, Barbara.
There's still a chance.
Yes. Oh, my God.
For her to pop out of...
Oh, sure, I got you. All right.
God, you were really going... You anyway, got there before I did.
Well, I know.
Rare.
I've worked with you long enough now. I know where your brain's going on all of this.
It starts in the gutter. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does. Okay. What's most interesting about this, and also something brand new I learned when it comes to whiskey, I love learning all these new things, even though all the years we've been doing this.
I'll forget them as soon as this is over.
What size is that bottle, Rob?
It's a 700 milliliter.
700 milliliters.
Tomas, you screwed me out of 50 milliliters.
Tomas had no such...
Yeah.
He did not. This is where the industry is going. There has been a new U.S. law that allows now for smaller bottle sizes. And that's exactly what's going to be happening as we move forward.
Seems unfair.
Do you think the price is going to change?
No.
No, of course not.
No. For certain not.
Exactly. I know why they do it, okay? The United States and India are the only two countries that use 750 milliliters for their bottles. So in order for these entries to get immediate impact in like Europe, Japan, places like that, you have to go from a 750 to a 700 milliliter bottle because that's what they sell over there.
Yeah, but couldn't you go up to a liter?
I don't know. What's more cost effective?
Well, for me, it's the liter.
Right. For you, of course it is.
For them, I'm sure going down 50 milliliters is preferable to going up 250. But,
right.
You know, come on.
Well, that's where we're headed right now. So we will be losing out of 50 milliliters. How much is 50 milliliters, by the way?
It's one of them little shooters.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, I think.
Well, let's see. 50 milliliters is exactly 1.7 ounces.
Yeah.
So it's about a pour.
It's a shooter, yeah. You can get a 3-liter bottle in Canada, though.
I'm a little concerned, you know, the sizes of these bottles.
That great big bottle of Jack in my office right. is a 3-liter bottle that you, I think
Good
you can,
Lord.
You can only get up in like Canada and like maybe on bases. Cause you sent me a picture of that 3-liter right. bottle on base that you didn't bring back.
Yes. That was like a checked bag just to bring that thing back.
You could have got two of them in there.
My God.
How awesome would it be to have a 3-liter bottle of Jack.
It wouldn't be that awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Would you drink it or would you keep it because it's 3 liters?
Well, I've already got one. So if I could get it on a base somewhere, I'd drink it.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for you. I'll keep doing that.
Joni, where are you at?
This, I haven't tried it yet. Did you try it? Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Okay. I can't talk with you for a half hour and not drink it. This is good. There's my review.
I'm glad I put a little water in it right away.
I bet you are. The first sip was a little harsh, but since then it's been good.
This is like a Guinness of whiskey.
It's a lot of everything. I mean, the nose is super full and the mouth feel is, it hits all of the notes.
It's chocolatey. It's toffee-esque almost. I don't get a lot of that. I don't get hardly any barrel on it at all. I don't get any of that oakiness.
It's a little oaky, but there's enough sweet.
Maybe
to
the water takes that away.
There's my research and my palate, but you know, there's like a sweet, almost a peanut brittle kind of on the front. The nose just is. I don't know.
Like, well, we've told people all along, either we like it or we don't. It's hard to really break it down.
It's way better than the chocolate malted rye. Let's just put it that way.
That almost goes without saying, for sure. Good Lord.
Ancient ages.
So this is the Woodford Reserve Master's Collection, 121.2 proof, 700 milliliter bottle. So you're going to lose 1.7 ounces.
They are making it up for in the weight of the glass, however.
Can I ask the price point on this, Rob? Can I ask what you paid for it?
I think it was $170, give or take a little.
Okay. And did we see retail on it was around?
That was retail.
That was retail. The MSRP was?
Yeah, the wholesale was considerably less.
Okay.
For what we paid for it for Whiskey Fest.
But this, again, is almost... this is almost allocated in a sense, correct? I mean, you can't just...
Oh, absolutely allocated.
Yeah, you can't go into any liquor store and find this at the moment. If you can, should you buy it?
Absolutely. I would like to see it a little lower, but I'm not going to fault the guy for making the money on it.
Right.
But it's a nice tasting bottle.
Ooh, it really is. I'll have to take your word for it being neat, but I only dropped a couple of drops of water into it.
I imagine just a hint of water would help it. Because
on that first sip, there was none of that burn that I think you initially got. That water took away, and then it's just all of the flavor. And even when you look at the glass on this, with a little water in there, how thick that is going down the side of your glass.
So the thing that I read on this earlier was at 121 proof, it drinks, this person said, pretty easily 10 to 15 points less. After the second sip, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I am not getting a lot of burn on the back. And what is there is, you know, it's on the back of the palate, and at the top of the throat, it doesn't burn all the way down into your soul, which I kind of, you know, prefer. I don't want that huge lingering burn like some of these folks.
No,
but
I like it all on my tongue, especially when it hits the sides, and that's kind of what this does. There's a really good, thick, viscous,
sorry.
Just... We're talking whiskey, right?
I know.
Let's just keep it on the whiskey. I know you were. I'm very glad you paid for this bottle. I appreciate
that. Well, I'm glad I did too, because if the company would have paid for it, then I would have felt obligated
to
leave it here.
Right. You'd have to leave it here. You would have to share it because people would have been interested.
And after saying, you know, that I'm not going to buy any, the answer clearly is always yes. So
yeah. And it wasn't. Even after we spent Wednesday day drinking some of the best cocktails we've had, that afternoon, Rob was like, oh, hey, if you're going to go grab that bottle of tequila, give me one, too.
Well, Becky was talking about wanting to try some good tequila.
Okay.
And well, I think we had one of those bottles at one point. We've had a Corazon bottle that was aged in, I think it was Buffalo Trace, not Blanton's.
These are the Blanton's barrels.
This is the Blanton's barrel.
And
so
I
bought it for her. Mostly.
Sure you did, Rob.
She won't drink it. She'll
pawn it off on you. You won't complain
about
it.
Well, I'll have it gone by the time she realizes that it's there, even though I handed it to her and said, here, honey, I got you a present.
All right. So, we would both easily recommend this. If you get a pour of it, if you know Rob.
I am taking this home. So if you do come in and want some, you better give me a heads up.
So you can try it for sure. And hopefully, well, we'll see if Justin down at Windsor will get some too. Maybe he's got a bottle of it.
I will bring it back in if somebody's listening and wants to come and try it.
All right. Well, thanks, Robbie.
As long as you have your photo ID and I don't get
trouble. go take a nap. Thank you for listening to this episode of Whiskey at Work. I am the producer and host, Mark Houston, along with Rob Henry. Our shows are engineered by Chris Jaquist, and the video and audio editing is done by our own Russ Haddon. If you like what you hear, we would love a 5-star review wherever you rate your podcast, and leave us a comment as well. It's Whiskey at Work on the Home Slice Audio Network.